Before I preach, I need to know what y'all are passing around back there, Joe. Who's doing it like this? I don't have to worry about this crowd. Amen. It's what? Oh, it's not a bomb? Okay. Amen. Take your Bible and turn to 1 Timothy tonight. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. I promise you it won't be real preachy tonight, and probably won't be very long, just a little thought, something to get you thinking just a little bit about where you are with the Lord and what you're doing with the Lord and what you're doing for the Lord. Amen. Brother Freddie gave me a CD from his Sunday school class from, I believe, two Sundays ago, Sunday before last, I think it was. And he was talking about spiritual success and doing something for God. And I listened to that, and it was very, very good. If you ever wonder if we're on the same page, do I agree with what these guys are telling you in Sunday school, 100%. Amen? And I thought that was very good. I'm not going to do it any justice tonight. I can't add anything to it, and I cannot find my notes anywhere. But I would like to just give you a little thought tonight. In 1 Timothy chapter number 1, I want you to understand what 1 and 2 Timothy is about. 1 and 2 Timothy is about the great Apostle Paul, who wrote 13 books of the Bible. He is handing down some advice and help to a young preacher who is going to carry on the work. Amen? In 1 Timothy chapter number 1, in verse number 1, he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, who's he writing to? It's very simple to find that out, isn't it? Now, he's writing this letter to Timothy, and what he's doing, he's giving him some practical applications about his life. And through these two books. And it's not just all about the ministry. Amen. There's more to life than serving God. Amen? Maybe that didn't come out right. That's not all we do. Amen? He tells him how to live. Amen. He tells him how to act. He tells him some things that he needs to keep out of his life. He tells him some things he needs to keep in his life. Amen. He's instructing him, if you will. Let me just break it down for you. 1 and 2 Timothy. In chapter number 1, Paul reminds Timothy of his charge. In other words, his job, what he has to do. In the last part of it, he's talking about the scope of the law, and that it's also the design of the gospel. In chapter number 2, he exhorts him to pray and give thanks for all men. And then in the latter part, starting around verse number 9, he talks about how women ought to be attired or dressed. And some of you ladies ought to read that, and it'll be a help to you. In chapter number 3, he talks about how bishops and deacons and their wives should be qualified. Let's see, he talks about important truths of Christian revelation. In chapter number 5, he talks about rules to be observed in admonishing. And then he talks about not ordaining any in a hurry or rashly. Chapter number 6, he talks about the duty of servants and the love of money, and just continues to give Timothy advice. In 2 Timothy chapter number 1, Paul shows or relates his love for Timothy. He exhorts him not to be ashamed of the gospel. In chapter number 2, Timothy is exhorted to be consistent and to persevere. In chapter number 3, he's warned against wickedness in the last days. Let's see, in chapter number 4 is Paul's solemn charge to Timothy. I would say in chapter number 4 would be Paul's swan song to Timothy, his parting words, if you will. And he says, Timothy, this is what I'm going to leave you with. It'd be like a father laying on his deathbed dying and sending everybody else out of the room and calling his son to his side and saying, son, before I go, I want to tell you a few things. And that's what Paul does in chapter number 4. And then we'll look at verse number 5. Paul said, but watch thou in all things. He said, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Tonight, just for a few minutes, I want to talk to you about making good investments. And that's what Paul is talking about here with Timothy. Paul has invested much of his life in this young preacher. Amen? He calls him his son. Was he really his earthly son? No, he was not. But he called him his son in the faith. In other words, he felt responsible for Timothy. Did you know when God sends you to this church and you get saved, in a deep sense, me, Brother Freddie, and Brother Charles, we feel responsible for you? We're not so much your safety and all that good stuff, but we feel responsible for your spiritual well-being. Yes, our job is to raise you up as children in the Lord. You can be 60 when you're saved and still be a child in Christ. Amen? And our job is to invest in you. What are we investing in you? Our lives. Yes. Amen? We're investing our lives, our time, our knowledge, our love, our prayer. Amen? We're investing that in you. And I think it's a good investment. This world gets all up in the air about investments, don't they? Every day on the news, they've got the Dow Jones and the whatever the other thing is. They got the era. It's either up or it's down. I told you the other day, makes no difference to me. I've still got the same $5 in my pocket. Amen? I'm still broke. I don't care. That era can point up all day long. It ain't never made a difference in my life. Amen? But they worry about their investments. People even go to the extent of hiring professionals to advise them about their investments. And that's what I'm here to do tonight, is to advise you about your investment. Did you know that you can make good investments that get a great return? Amen. Somebody said, preacher, have you got a retirement plan? I said, yeah, it's out of this world. Amen. I'm talking about heaven. Amen. Listen, you can make good investments, but you can also make bad investments. Amen. During this recession or whatever they call it that we're in, a lot of people have lost a lot of money because of where they had their money invested. They had their money invested in businesses that went belly up. Amen. But some people were safe because their money was invested in good places that are still thriving. Amen. And we want to take our lives and invest them in good places. Listen, I'm not against playing ball. I'm not. But investing your life in a ball team, it's not a good investment. Amen. Would you agree? Amen. I love to fish. But investing my life in fishing is not a good investment. Amen. It'll pay nothing back. That's right. Amen. But investing my life in you will pay back big time. Amen. Amen. I'm not talking about monetary gain. I'm talking about heavenly gain. Yes, sir. Amen. We want to make good investments. Now, I want to show you something. And in 1 Timothy chapter 1, go back just a few pages. And this is sad, but it's true. I hate to even read it, but I've seen it happen over, over, and over again. Paul says to Timothy, holding, in verse 19 of chapter 1, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. Some ain't going to make it. Some aren't going to make it. Chances are, with some of you tonight, spiritually, this time next year, you won't make it. You won't be here. And our desire as leaders in this church is to see God's will performed in your life. Amen. Whatever that may be, whether it's to preach behind the pulpit, to teach a class, to work a bus route, or just be a prayer warrior, whatever that may be, we want to see God's will performed in your life, and we want to help you get to that point. Amen. But if you're not careful with the investment you're making, Paul said, some of them concerning the faith have made a mess out of their lives. It's a total wreck, is what he said. Amen? I know some people tonight who started out well. They started out coming to Bible classes. But it got to the point where that wasn't a high priority in their life. They started out coming to Sunday school, but that got to be not such an important thing in their life. They were faithful to church for a while, but that got to be where it wasn't such an important thing in their life. What are you talking about? I'm talking about things concerning the faith and the upbuilding of their spiritual life. Amen. And when they started to shun that, their lives fell apart. I could name names tonight, and so could you. Of people we knew, we've said this before, if we had everybody here tonight who has gotten saved and gotten involved in this church in the past, if we had them all here tonight, I don't think they'd fit on this property. There's been a lot in these doors and out these doors. Would you agree with that? Now here's my goal. I don't want to lose anybody. I don't want to lose anybody. You say, I'm not just interested in your spiritual life. I'm interested in your marriage. I hate divorce with a stinking passion. I counsel with a man going through it today. It's horrible. It never comes out good. It never comes out good. What happened? Somebody turned away concerning the faith. You say, well, how do you know? How do you know they turned away from the will of God? They're getting a divorce. We okay tonight? Somebody wasn't right with God. Amen. When couples come into my office, the first thing I ask the man and the wife, as far as you know in your heart, are you where you ought to be with the Lord? I ask the husband and the wife the same thing. And both of them say yes, then I say, you shouldn't be in here. You shouldn't be in here. I shouldn't be dealing with, there's a problem somewhere. If you're where you ought to be with Christ, you shouldn't be in my office because you're ready to kill one another. Amen. Something's wrong somewhere. We want to make good investments in you, but chances are, if you're not careful, we're going to lose some of you. Amen. Now here's the thing. Paul didn't want Timothy just to take it all in. He wanted Timothy to give it back out. If you sit in church and that's all you ever do, if you come to Sunday school and you go to Bible classes and that's all you ever do, you're going to stagnate. A river, a pond has to have an outlet. It has to have water coming in and water going out. Because if it doesn't, it spoils and it ruins. And dogs won't even drink it. Yes. Amen. We okay tonight? Yes, sir. What I'm saying is we want to put it in you, but we can't get it out of you. You've got to do that. Amen. You've got to find an outlet for your spirituality, whether it's handing out gospel tracts or witnessing or coming on Saturday and helping us knock on doors or helping clean the church. I don't care what it is. I think cleaning the church is not, to me, that's not really a spiritual thing. It matters how it looks to visitors when they come in on Sunday. But I think our outlet ought to be in some way used to make a difference in somebody's life. Yes, it could be going down to the nursing home with Brother Ryan. You don't have to sing. You don't have to preach. You could just go and be a blessing to an elderly man or a woman who's not long for this earth. Amen? Find you an outlet before you die. Amen. It could be smoking Boston butts. Amen. I can't wait to get ours. That's going to be mighty, mighty good. But find you some way to get out. And let's make sure you don't fall into chapter 1 and verse 19, the shipwreck. Amen. Amen. I don't want to be a has-been, do you? Amen. Amen. There used to be a couple in our church. I got to be careful. Somebody might know who I'm talking about. But the wife would testify, and every time she testified, she talked about what all they used to do. And I used to sit and think, why don't you testify about what you're doing now?
Yeah, preacher.
Would have been a very short testimony. It was always a very long testimony about what they used to do. But they got to the place in their life, I guess they thought they had arrived. We're not done till Jesus comes.
Amen.
Are you listening? We're not through till He comes after us. Amen. We need to stay busy for God.
Yes, sir.
Find you an outlet, whatever that outlet is. Our desire for you is to be successful as Christians. Now, I want you to think about something tonight, just for a few minutes. I promise you, we're going to spend more time praying in the altar tonight than we're going to preaching. Years ago, subtract 4 from 46, whatever that comes up to, 42? Is that right? Yeah. Everybody's going, 42 years ago. Jay Bice made an investment. He got up early on a Saturday morning, filled a sack up with bubble gum, and started knocking on people's doors. He just happened to come by and knock on mine. And he invited me to church. And I rode a bus just like a whole bunch of kids will Sunday morning to White Oak Springs Baptist Church. I grew up there. When I was a teenager, I heard the gospel all my life. When I was a teenager, I got saved. Jay made an investment in my life. Jay made an investment in my life. I'd say what he did that Saturday was worth it. I doubt seriously he ever thought that the little boy standing in the living room in his underoos, Spider-Man, I believe. I doubt seriously he ever thought one day that little boy would grow up and be his pastor. But he was making an investment in my life. But he didn't stop there. He kept investing. And he kept investing. And he kept investing. And he kept investing. I got saved and I got in church. And there were two other men that were very, very important in my Christian life. It was Ollie Matthews and Roger Cole. Here's the point I want to make tonight. The first one was the preacher that invited me to church, led me to Christ. The second two were deacons in our home church, and they took a great interest in my life. Now, here's the thing. They all made an investment in my life. All three of those men are in heaven tonight. Brother Jay's in heaven. Brother Roger's in heaven. Brother Ollie's in heaven. Amen. But the investment they made is still giving a return. Do you understand that? Amen. The investment that they made is still giving a return. I wonder if every now and then on a Sunday morning when this place is packed out and the altars are full and the junior church is full and the buses are loaded down, I ever wonder if the Lord says, hey, somebody go get Roger Cole and somebody go get Ollie Matthews and somebody make Jay Bice quit preaching and come over here for a minute and let them look over the banisters of heaven and say, look down yonder. I want you to know that was a good investment. Yeah. Amen. Amen. I want you to know that was a good investment. I want to know one of these days when I die that the investment's going to carry on. Amen. Amen. I want to know that what we've invested you, if I died, would this church stop? If Brother Charles left, would we be done? What would we do? Somebody said this one time. Brother Freddie was praying about going to the mission field. And somebody said, oh my Lord, what will we do if Brother Freddie leaves? We'll throw a party. Yeah. No. We'll mourn for months. That's what we'll do. But everywhere there's a gap, God's got a man to fill it. Yeah. And by the way, I'm not pushing you out the door. Are you listening to me? What our job is as Christians is to duplicate ourselves. You say, oh my God, could there be two Eddie Whites? I hope not. But seriously, our job is to duplicate ourselves. To bring somebody, and that's what Paul did with Timothy all these years and years and years. Paul has worked with this young preacher and worked with this young preacher and worked with this young preacher.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
Dr. Wayne Shimish, missionary in Thailand, pastored the Good Shepherd Baptist Church in Australia for years. For years, everywhere Brother Shimish went, there was this little old black-headed boy with him. First time we ever met Brother Shimish, that little old black-headed boy was with him. Just looked like a little teenager, didn't he, Brother Freddie? You remember? His name is Nathan. Can't remember the last name. His name is Nathan. And he worked with him and worked with him and worked with him and worked with him. One day, Brother Shimish felt led to go to Thailand. And he said, here, Nathan, it's yours. What Brother Shimish's goal was all those years was to duplicate himself so that when he left, his work would carry on.
Amen.
Amen. And that's what we want to do. That's why we're trying to get you to go out on visitation on Saturday and knock on doors on Saturday. Hey, we're not just invested in the students in the Bible classes. We're invested in everybody. We're invested in these teenagers in here tonight.
Amen.
I asked Brother Allen, I called him today. I said, would you mind bringing, they usually have a teen service. I said, would you mind bringing the teenagers in here tonight? God can use you. God can. We're going to visit our bus kids on Saturday. Do you know what an impact you could have, guys? Andrew and Edward, man, y'all could make a huge difference.
Yes, sir, brother.
There's kids out there, they think we're a bunch of weirdos, man.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. But they can relate to you and you can relate to them.
Amen.
You understand them and they understand you. God's got a place in His work for every single one of us.
Amen.
I'm expecting Saturday Brother Freddie to be there. I'm expecting Brother Charles and Brother Robbie and all these different leaders in our church and Brother Warren. I'm expecting them to be there. But guess what? I'm expecting the rest of you to be there.
Amen.
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 You say, Brother Eddie, you really want me to come? No, I expect you to be there.
Amen.
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 I want to see the investment at work.
Amen, brother.
I want to see you duplicating yourself. But you first got to get to where you're something to duplicate. Anybody can duplicate nothing. And I'm not saying you're nothing. I'm talking about in your work for God. Do you understand? Teenagers, I hope you'll show up 10 o'clock Saturday morning. I hope you'll be here. I'm excited to see how full our buses are going to be on Sunday. Because of the effort we put into this.
Yes,
we had 58 people show up for the work day Saturday 2 weeks ago. What if we have 58 people show up to go on the bus routes? Somebody do some division. Tell me how many people that'd be visiting each route. Just holler at me when you get it done. 19? 19 people doing what two people usually do every week. Reckon they get any more done? Reckon instead of visiting one street, they'd knock out a whole subdivision?
Yes, sir.
Say it, normally they knock on 25, 40 doors somewhere in that neighborhood and invite 50 kids to ride the bus on Sunday. What if they got 19 people? In the same amount of time, they're going to invite several hundred kids.
Yeah.
Are you following me?
Yeah.
And so that's how we duplicate ourselves. I tell him, he tells him. He tells her. She tells her. She tells him. Y'all follow her? That's how it works. That's how it works. That's how the body of Christ grows. That's how we duplicate ourselves. Now, some of us who have been saved a while, we ought to find some young Christians and invest ourselves in them. What about that quiet person that doesn't, they don't really leave the pew during fellowship and they hadn't really got to know anybody in the church? It's your job to get to know them. Amen. Inject yourself in their lives. We okay? It'd be a good thing. And it'd be a good investment. Amen. Now, listen, I said some ain't going to make it. But thank God some will. In chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, what Paul is doing, he said, my time of departure is at hand. He's handing off the baton. Look, one of these days, and I pray it's a long time from now. One of these days, my time of departure is going to be at hand. I don't know if my son will take my place. I'm just using him as an illustration. But one of these days, it's going to come to a place where I'm going to hand off the baton. I've ran as far in the race as I can go. What if he's not in shape to run with it? What if he's not able to continue the course? Can you imagine the Olympic, when they run the races in the Colosseums and they run the baton race and the relay race? What if they handed the baton to somebody that was about 200 pounds overweight? You reckon they'd have any chance for the gold? No, they're going to hand the baton to somebody who's been running. They're going to hand the baton to somebody who is prepared. They're going to hand the baton to somebody who is qualified to take it and run with it. Thank you, son.
Amen.
What I'm saying is one of these days, we're going to hand this church off to another generation. Brothers, Charles's hair is not getting darker, it's getting whiter. Amen. We're getting older is what we're doing. I was a kid when I became the pastor of this church. I'm a grandpa now. Seriously. Amen. What was I, 26, 27 years old? I was young.
Amen.
Maybe I was 28. I was somewhere in that neighborhood. 28 years old. Man, I didn't have a clue. I didn't have a clue. We've grown together and we've learned together.
Amen,
we're over halfway done.
Come on, brother. Yes, sir.
We're over halfway done. In other words, what I'm saying is, we've just celebrated our 18th year as being the pastor of this church.
Amen, brother.
If I get 18 more, how old will that make me? 46 and 18.
Oh.
What? How old? 64? Oh, maybe we got more than 18. Don't be grabbing this thing yet. Amen. Amen. We want to hand this thing off to somebody who is able and ready to carry it. Now, here's the thing. Paul, this is not the first time Timothy's hearing these kind of things. Do you understand that? Timothy's not going, wow, I've never heard anything like this in my life. Timothy was not a novice. Timothy was not some young squirt who had, Paul didn't just say, hey, you a good-looking kid, come here. They had been companions for years. We find Timothy all the way back in the book of Acts, all the way through there. Timothy's been serving God all these years. He's just now fixing to get position. Are you understanding? Here's what people say. They sit on a pew. They don't come to Sunday school. And I believe the reason for that is because they can't handle authority. Y'all all right? They don't want anybody telling them what to do. That's what a teacher does.
Yes, sir.
It's what a math teacher does. Have y'all heard of these kind of schools, these private schools? Montessori, I believe is what it's called. And their whole philosophy is get all these kids in a big room and let them do whatever they want. That's their philosophy. If I'd have went to that kind of school, I wouldn't have been able to add two and two. Because I didn't care nothing about a math book. Are we okay?
Yeah, amen.
That's the wrong kind of philosophy. We need a teacher to tell you how to live. We need somebody to tell you, hey, ladies, men, adultery's wrong.
Yeah.
Fornication ain't right.
Amen.
Drugs will kill you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We need somebody to tell us how to live. We need somebody to tell us about the Lord and what He can do in our lives and for us.
Yes, sir.
Are you okay? But somebody wants to sit on a pew. They show up half the time and then get mad when we give some faithful person a position. Well, I don't know why they don't ever ask me. You're not ready.
That's right. Amen.
We okay?
Amen.
I remember when I was at White Oak and it burned me up. I never complained about anything, ever. I never went to my pastor and said, hey, I'm not happy with this. Look, he was the pastor. If that's what he wanted, that's up to you. But he had young teenagers teaching Sunday school classes. I'm not talking about assisting with their mother or, no. They were over and in charge. And I thought, man, they need to learn.
Amen.
We okay?
Yeah, amen.
They need to be taught.
Amen.
We want to hand this thing off to able people.
These
little old boys that sat on the front row on Sunday night, they're in Patch Club tonight. There's about, how many of them is there around here? There's 15 or 20 this high.
Amen.
Mean as rattlesnakes. That's our future.
Amen.
And one of these days, we want to hand this thing off to them and it never skip a beat.
Yeah,
I want them to be sitting there just like that runner in the Olympics, just waiting on it.
Yeah, bro.
We've trained. We've been taught. We've learned the things we needed to learn. We're ready to go. Hand it to us.
Amen, bro.
Amen. One of us could be in a car accident and killed tomorrow. Lord, I don't want that for nothing. But who would step in there? I wonder how many of you would feel comfortable jumping in teaching Brother Freddy's class Sunday morning. If you've ever heard him teach, that'd probably be none of us. Are you listening? What if something happened and Brother Terry and Miss Stacy, one of them got very sick and ill? Is there somebody who'd jump right in there and run that bus route? Is there? Would you even know where to go? Would somebody say, hey, I know that route?
Amen.
Well, it's getting awful quiet. I think the amens are turning into oh me's. Amen. You would get on the bus and say, which way do we go? After Saturday, every one of you will know at least one of our bus routes. You'll have a general idea about one of our bus routes. Amen. Do you know what that means? That means when something does happen and Terry and Stacy can't be here, we're going to say, Terry, who visited with you? Who's helped you visit your bus route? And we're going to call you. Y'all okay? Boy, y'all looking squeamish. We've got your phone number. We're going to call you and say, hey, Terry and Stacy can't be here. We need you to jump in there and take that bus route on Sunday.
Amen.
I wonder how many of you would be ready to teach a Sunday school class if somebody were sick at the drop of a hat. Brother Charles asked me tonight, he said, would you mind if he's preaching in here Sunday morning. I'll be here, but out with the kids. He said, would you mind if I call Brother Paul Parker and ask him to take my class on Sunday morning? I said, brother, I don't mind at all. That'd be great. And you know what? That's not going to freak Paul Parker out. I don't think. I believe he'll say, yes, sir. Be glad to. Why? Because he's ready. Because he's ready. I wonder some of you preacher boys. If I walked in here tonight and said, I've just come down with a terrible headache. I mean, just on the way to church, my head's splitting wide open. You're going to have to handle it tonight. Instant in season,
amen.
Out of season.
Amen.
We okay? Jason and CJ both said God's called them to preach. Can't prove it by me. We having fun tonight, ain't we? Amen. I ain't never seen Jason turn red. He's red right now. Amen. That Brother Earl, my pastor, if he preached one service a week, we was lucky. That's the truth. He hardly ever, usually always on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, he'd get somebody to preach. And he'd walk to the pulpit. One Sunday morning, honest before the Lord, he opened his Bible. That page is falling out of mine. He opened his Bible and he just stood there like he forgot who he was or something. Stared at his Bible for about 2 or 3 minutes. He looked up at the front pew and said, y'all pray for Brother Eddie as he comes with a message. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Kind of felt like I was going to get to do something today.
Yeah.
I was ready.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
We carried our teens last year to Brother Larry Brown's in Augusta. I'm talking about a church with 3,000 people in it. Humongous.
Amen.
I'm sitting on the pew. I just brought a bunch of teenagers. Brother Larry walks up in the pulpit and said, hey, Brother White, I didn't know you was here. Come over here and preach. Okay. Amen. I didn't go to preach, but I was ready. Y'all listening? There's a lady that used to come by White Oak all the time. She always came in. She had her Bible and a big old notebook. The notebook was full of songs. She could sing. And the preacher would ask her to sing, and she'd get up and sing. She'd say, "Now I didn't come to sing. Oh, what'd you bring that notebook for?" Amen. I didn't come to sing. Oh, yeah, you did. Amen.
Yeah.
Hey, and that's all right. Hey, if you can sing, you ought to come to sing.
Amen.
If you can preach, you ought to come to preach.
Yeah.
If you good talking to people, you ought to go on visitation and come to talk to somebody.
Yeah, right.
Amen.
Amen.
Listen, you don't have to wait till we die.
Amen.
to do something for God. We'll make room for you to serve now. Amen. As we start splitting down some of these classes, we're not making Brother Freddie's class smaller because we don't like him having a big class. We're going to diversify some of you people a little bit. Amen. And don't get mad when we tell you, hey, you ought to go here for a while. We're trying to prepare you that you might do something later. Amen.
Amen,
bro. You ain't got to wait till we die. If you plan on taking my place one day, or if any of you guys plan on stepping in when I'm done, you might better start now.
Yeah, you're right, preacher.
Amen.
Amen, bro.
Now here's our desire for you.
Amen.
This is the difference between us and the Catholic Church. That priest never wants you on his level. That's why he don't want you to even have a Bible in your hand when you're at church.
Amen.
He doesn't want you to learn something beyond him.
Amen.
We want you to pass us.
Amen.
Amen.
We want you to do more than we ever dreamed about or thought about.
Yes, sir.
I don't think it's this Bible, but one of my Bibles, Brother Doug Fisher, signed it. Nope, it's not this one. He signed my Bible. He pastors, most of you know, a large church in San Diego, California. Very large. They got over 1,000 just in their Spanish ministry. He signed my Bible, Doug Fisher, and up under it, he put a verse of Scripture, and under that, he wrote these words, "Go on by, brother." You know what he's saying? I want you to surpass what I've been done. He said, "I've invested in your life. I want to see my investment doubled.
Amen.
I want to see the interest.
Come on, brother.
I want to see the interest. If all you ever do is come to where I am, there's no interest in that."
Amen.
That's like the guy who put the money in a napkin and hid it.
Come on,
it never went anywhere. If somebody doesn't surpass me, if somebody doesn't surpass you out of your Sunday school class or your bus route, all you've done is hit it in a napkin.
Amen.
We want you to do more.
Amen. Amen.
Some people would be jealous as all get out. As all get out. If you left their church and went somewhere and did something great. He said, "No, they wouldn't." Yeah, they would. They were of me. And I ain't saying I've done anything great. But God began to bless.
Yes, brother.
And God began to move.
Amen.
And all they could think was anything growing that fast, something's got to be wrong.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Instead of hearing about the blessings of God and rejoicing, they got jealous. Man, I want you to do well.
Amen.
Some of you young preachers, I want to see you leave. Thank God we've got Eric Knight in Thailand.
Amen.
Would I have loved to kept him right here and serve with us? Yes, we could use him.
Absolutely.
He was a blessing.
Amen.
But you know what the greater blessing is? Not only is our investment Villa Rica now,
yeah,
but it's Thailand.
Yes, bro.
Amen.
Who would have ever thought?
That's right.
Somebody out of Happy Valley Baptist Church would get on a plane and give their lives to the mission field in Thailand.
Yeah. Amen.
What are you saying? I'm saying cha-ching. I couldn't lead a Thai person to Christ if I wanted to. Unless he spoke very good hillbilly.
Yeah.
Amen. Sounds like he dropped a bunch of silverware down a stairwell. That's how they sound when they talk. I couldn't win one of them folks to Christ. Do you know what Brother Eric's doing? He's over there. He's in language school. He and Miss Stacy are learning to speak Thai.
Amen.
And I don't mean to sound this to sound like we're bragging. But when they learn to speak that language, we're going to have a part in every soul they lead to Christ.
Absolutely.
Did you know that a songwriter, if his songs are used in movies or whatever, he always gets royalties off of that? He may be home laying on the couch, but he's still getting royalties.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes,
sir. You know what Jay Bice is doing this tonight? He's getting royalties.
Amen.
One of these days when I'm in heaven, I want to still be getting royalties.
Amen, brother.
Rewards. Amen. I know I'm making a good investment. I know I am. I'm sold into this thing 100%.
Yeah. Amen, brother.
Have you ever met a multi-level marketing person? Whatever the product may be, whether it's some kind of miracle juice from the jungles of wherever, some kind of berry you ain't never heard of, and if you'll drink it 3 times a day, you'll never die. You ever heard of that stuff? Goji juice and all this. You ever heard of that? I mean, oh, it's a miracle. And it's a multi-level thing. In other words, I'm going to hire you under me, then you go hire 3 people under you. And then, you know what I'm saying? So what do you call that? It's like a pyramid. Amen. And the guy on the top up here said things just getting broader and broader at the base. What would happen to a pyramid if you turned it upside down? It'd fall over, wouldn't it? Amen. That thing's getting broader and broader and broader. And everything that's being done, the top is very small. Amen. The bottom is very wide. Everything that's being done at the bottom, yeah, it's all filtering to the top.
Amen.
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 Yes. That's what we're after. I know I'm making a good investment.
Amen, brother.
What about yours? If we stood before God tonight, would you be empty-handed? Would you be empty-handed? I ain't done a whole lot for God, but I wouldn't be empty-handed.
Amen.
Amen. You know what I like to do? I like to invest in people. It's going to do way more than I ever have. I preached to James Bailey one Sunday morning years ago. He come off that back row on the right-hand side, right back yonder. He and his wife came to this altar right here in that spot, and they were led to Christ. I don't know the numbers, and I'm not interested in numbers, but as of this moment, James Bailey has personally one-on-one won more to Christ than I ever have.
Amen.
And probably most of all of us.
Amen.
I mean, brother, I caught a soul-winning machine that morning. Amen.
Yeah.
You say, what's so great about that? I'm getting blessings from it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Does this make sense tonight?
Yeah.
I told you it wouldn't be barnstorming preaching, but something to help you tonight. Check on your investment. Y'all ever seen the baby commercial where the baby's e-trading? Those are my favorite. I DVR them and watch them again and again. The little baby's in his cradle with his computer checking his, you know what he's doing? He's checking on his investments.
Amen, brother.
Yeah. Have you checked on yours lately? Have you checked on your investments lately?
Amen.
How are they doing? Is your stocks up? Or are they down? I know where my stocks are tonight. Let's stand to our feet.